I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat? So many roads to travel, so many trains to ride, so many trains to ride. Ain't no need for you to worry. Don't break down, love is on our side. Ride, 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 ride.
Oh, it's the final hour of our broadcast week, so we better make it count. And you know what I do when I really want to make something count?
Now he's the top in all the land. Let Paul give that
please,
man.
Why?
He's the best of all the auctioneers.
Why? Please don't why? Talk over why do you do that? You take the whole pressure of you say I want to make the whole week count, and the last part of the week's going to count, and I'm going to have going to make a. That's a lot of pressure on a young man like myself.
I understand, but as the Bible says, God only gives you as much as you can handle.
So, thank you.
So live thank with you. It, Curly.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father Monson. It's been 1 week since my last confession, I must
say. I
wasn't
insinuating that I was God there. John Curly, you can hear him afternoons on 97.3 Cairo News Radio. How are
you? Let me make a slight side comment. Yeah. You said last week that you believe you are the only station anywhere in the world at that time, at this place, always playing Fog Hat. And
that's not what I said, but okay, go ahead.
One time I was talking about Amy, a pure Prairie League song with Tom on the show, and some guy, I think somebody from the Pure Prairie League, say that when you're tired five times fast, lives somewhere around here, and he heard it and wrote in and said, hey, I'm so glad you guys are talking about Amy. That great song, Amy, what you gonna do? Amy, what you gonna do?
Oh, yeah.
So who knows?
Andrew, would you please get
in town?
Would you please get Amy from Pure Prairie League up for us, please?
I'm glad you took your time getting into it.
I was going to stumble on it like you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was a song that we used to get really drunk when we were in high school. Go to St. Joe's, Smoking Joe's. It was a bar down at University of Pennsylvania. They let us in there.
Between Saint and Smoking. How tired are you?
Oh my God. Nicole will tell you. I was up late last night in Albany, New York. I got up at 2 a.m. I flew all the way here. I'm doing my show, and then I'm doing an auction tonight.
St. Joe's, Smoking Joe. It's all the
Smoking
same.
Smoking Joe.
Hey, Dory wanted to call you last night, right as you, I knew you were going to bed, and I said,
Nicole wouldn't let me call you.
Please don't.
No, it was a long night and long day. Okay. But listen, right. I'm here.
Yes.
And still, I thought of something this morning when I was on the plane that if you want to put Tucker Carlson out of business, and there are so many people on the left that hate Tucker Carlson and the ratings that he gets and the reviews, just do your job, journalists. New York Times, do stories that Tucker Carlson does, because what he does is he's doing ones that you're not doing, intentionally not doing, and he's intentionally doing because you're not doing them. Like the case of the pro-life activist, this guy Mark Hulk, I don't know if you saw him or not. Yes. He goes every Wednesday, he drives 2 hours somewhere into Pennsylvania, and he stands in front of abortion centers, and he tries to minister, and, you know, you're not allowed to get in the way of people. He was there.
He prays.
October 21, he was there, and this guy, 71-year-old guy, comes up to his 12-year-old son who's there with him, and he starts calling his dad. You know, your dad's a blank, begins with a F, and it sounds like you spell the word bag. And he starts screaming this at his kid. Mark tries to get between the 71-year-old, who is an activist and a guy that escorts women into the abortion clinics. So he tries to break it up, pushes the guy falls back. Okay, so that's the case. It then goes to court in Pennsylvania. The man that brought the case against the pro-life activist doesn't show up 4 times. By the way, there's an outstanding warrant for his arrest. Surprise, surprise. Let me add one thing to that real quick. Yeah.
It was going to court only on a civil charge. The guy who got shoved filed a civil charge. But the authorities, long before that, had looked into whether this Mark Houck had committed any crime in pushing the guy. And they said, no, there was no crime here. The 71-year-old was screaming at this guy's 12-year-old son, and he did what any dad would do. He said, get away from my kid. And the authorities looked into it criminally and said, there's nothing here. There's no case. So the guy filed a civil case and didn't show up in court, and so that picks up.
Didn't show up four times. Plus, also, not enough medical evidence to show that he was really that hurt. But that aside from that, the amazing thing is it sits for almost a year and a half. And then at 7 o'clock in the morning, 20 to 25 FBI agents, all heavily armed, pound on the door and go into this guy's house and arrest him in front of his kids, his seven children and his wife.
Yeah. Yes.
And take him away. I think it'll have him on $10,000 or $100,000 bail. He gets out. But the question is, why is that not a story? Washington Post.
Right.
You don't cover it. New York Times. You don't cover it. Why doesn't anyone cover it? Now, and I hate to do the old, if that had been, of course they would have been covering it. But when the FBI goes in, 25 people go in heavily armed and drag a guy or pull him out of there in front of his kids. Crime, the face one, which is basically you can't obstruct somebody from entering or exiting an abortion clinic. You can't do anything to stop their freedom of speech.
And there's no evidence that he did that. There's no evidence that he did. So here, here is on the Tucker Carlson that you referenced, his wife was talking about when the FBI showed up with guns drawn.
My entire front yard, you could barely see it. It was covered with at least 15 big trucks and cars. And there were, you know, like I said, 20, 25, 30 men, women, completely in jackets with shields and helmets and guns, and they were behind cars. It was, I mean, something I never would expect to see on my front lawn.
And they have three young teenagers, like 13 to 16, and then they have four younger kids.
It was devastating. I mean, as you can imagine, it's hard to even express the victimization and, you know, how traumatized we all are due to this unnecessary thing that happened to us, you know. So
I'm really glad you brought this up, John, because this is, I mean, this is a really important issue. And the fact that nobody else in the media is covering it should be shocking to everybody. When the government is weaponized based on one's ideology.
Yes. Well, if he was such a threat, why did they wait a year and a half? Plus, he also knew about the charges and was willing to come in. Right. He told his attorney. His attorney said, yeah, we'll come in. And they didn't get back to them. They didn't respond. But then they come busting through at 7 in the morning. I mean, if this isn't, I know we're supposed to be afraid of the MAGA extremists, the MAGA terrorists, the MAGA this and the MAGA that. What is this?
Well, it is just that. It's government weaponized. And look, while trespassing in the U.S. Capitol is a crime, but for the nonviolent trespassers, some of whom have been sitting in the most third world jail cell in D.C. for 2 years now, and it's the government sending a message that if you step out of, I mean, it's been my contention, John, that's what the last 2.5 years have been all about. You know, Jay Inslee wants to see, you know, can we make them stay home for 2 weeks to stop the spread? Can we make them wear a mask? Let's tell them they can't go to church. How much will we take? And you got Bob Ferguson. You know, Tim Iman's a goofy guy. We all know he's a goofy guy. But Bob Ferguson has spent millions and millions and millions of tax dollars to go after a guy, primarily because Tim Iman has restricted tax dollars to the state of Washington. Ferguson's the most dangerous politician I've ever seen. So, yeah, when government is weaponized, we better all be hyper aware of this.
But, Dory, I understand government weaponization. I get that because absolute power and you just take more and more of it. But my problem is always, where are the so-called journalists? I think the only way they can rationalize these decisions not to cover these stories is because they say to themselves, well, the ends justify the means. We'll ignore this or cover that, or we will accentuate this but not this, because in the end, we'll all be better served when we, do X, Y, and Z. Get rid of Donald Trump, crush, right. Get Christianity and put it in its place, get it out of school, get it out of government, break up the family, recognize that men can have babies. We'll all be better off. So we'll ignore this. The story about that kid that got run down, the Republican that got run down by the crazy Democrat in North Dakota. South Dakota. Again, crickets from the media on that. But if that had been just the opposite, like the ridiculous guy in the Dodge Charger that ran down the woman in Charlottesville and killed her. Oh my God. Right. For days and days and days and days. In fact, that is apparently, according to Joe Biden, that's the reason he decided to run for president. This guy gets run down in this alley by this, extreme left guy, runs over this young kid and nothing.
Right.
The media doesn't cover it.
Well, they,
now,
they
why
cover...
don't they? Because they don't want to give any ammunition, but you're only allowing people that just want both sides to have to go, well, I guess I have to go over to Tucker Carlson to get some of that news because it isn't coming anywhere else.
Wait, And
Dory Monson.
Okay. I didn't want to say it. It's like the guy who ran down the Christmas parade in Waukesha. That got almost zero mainstream media attention.
No. It got media, but it wasn't him. It was an SUV. It was an SUV that ran down the people. It was the SUV that made the right hand turn. It was the SUV that ran over the 78-year-old woman. The SUV did.
I'll give you a couple more to make your case. Last weekend, Seattle Times runs a front page story. Tiffany Smiley using scare tactics in standing in front of a closed, shuttered Starbucks that they closed because crime was so bad. And Seattle Times said that was a scare tactic. So Patty Murray runs a commercial saying that if Republicans prevail, they're going to take away your Social Security and your Medicaid. The Washington Post does a story on Patty Murphy saying that it was four Pinocchios because there was absolutely no truth to what she was saying. The Seattle Times doesn't put that story in their print edition. They bury it on their website. They put Tiffany Smiley's scare tactic, which is a fake story, on the front page. They put the real story about Patty Murray using scare tactics, and they don't cover it. I mean, it's journalism is dead.
Dead.
And the most recent example, do you think maybe our president has clear signs of dementia now?
Oh, my God. Is that not amazing? When Donald Trump picked up a bottle of water and had to hold it with two hands or was walking down a slippery metal slope, a ramp, and holding with his right hand because he had brand new shoes on, or he used the word Thailand instead of Thailand.
Right.
Hours and hours, and you could look it up. Washington Post, miles and miles of ink on each one of these stories. What's wrong with Donald Trump? 25th Amendment, bringing in psychiatrists and psychologists, analyzing how he talks, how he walks. Obviously, Joe Biden is not there mentally. He's not going to get any better. And then Washington Post writes this small four or eight paragraphs, basically nothing other than the fact Republicans are making hay of this. Are you kidding me? This man is in charge of the free world. This man has the nuclear code, if he can remember where he is. And we are not talking about this. They don't want to because who's in the wings? The woman, the vice president that gets two big check boxes. She was one time an Indian American, first time elected. Then she was a black American. Now she's a black female. She's in there. So when you check boxes, this is what you get. One of the most incompetent VPs we've ever had. So now what they can do? Absolutely nothing. They don't want to do anything. Just hide Joe.
Here's what CNN did when Donald Trump walked down a ramp after giving an address to at West Point. Here's what CNN did with it.
There are some questions this morning about President Trump's health. And it's because of this video of the president where you see him walking very haltingly, one leg at a time. It starts happening here.
Okay. He was walking,
there are questions
John.
Questions are being asked. Who's asking the questions? Please.
He was walking one leg at a time. Unlike all the rest of Americans who hop on 2 feet when we go down ramps, but for Donald Trump,
the president, where you see him walking very haltingly, one leg at a time,
who walks one leg at a time, John? I don't blame CNN for being all over that.
Thank God they covered it, Dory.
Thank God
they covered it.
And then waiting in the wings, we got this gal now.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance
with the Republic of North Korea. And
so Biden wants to know where Jackie is. Kamala thinks we're aligned with North Korea. What is going on?
Oh, my God. Again, media, just do your job. Journalists, I know the reason you wanted to be a journalist because you wanted to change the world and be activists. In the Seattle Times, we know who you are. And we know why you do the stories you do. But don't you have any sort of, I don't know what the word is. I told this story one other time. My cousin used to write for Rolling Stone magazine. He was down in the basement there in Little Rock when Clinton won. It was Tom Brokaw announced that Pennsylvania will go for Clinton, and he will be the next president of the United States. And Frank was down there in the basement, and everyone erupted. All the journalists cheered. And he turned to this guy next to him. He said, can't we have some semblance of objectivity? Can't we at least fake it for just a little while? Exactly. It's just amazing. It's
Journalism
amazing.
Is completely dead in America.
Yep.
It's absolutely.
And that's why, Dory,
dead.
I have to tell you something. That's why you're, and I'm not just blowing smoke here. That's why your ratings are so high, because people that listen to you want to find out, okay, what am I not getting? Because I know I'm not getting something. So what am I not getting? And luckily for you and for Tucker and for others that, you know, do this news, they leave a lot behind, and there's a particular reason they leave it behind. So there's two stories. There's the story for what is happening, and then there's a story for why it's being ignored. It's just tragic, and
yes,
it doesn't serve anyone.
And I'll just leave you with this. Back in 2012, I went to Olympia. I was asked to give a speech at this Tea Party rally on the Capitol steps. And we found out later, about 4 months later, my wife and I get a very threatening letter from the IRS. And they were accusing things that were completely made up. And they said we owed $55,000 for something. And it turned out to be absolutely untrue. But it took us hours and days and weeks to you know, go to attack our tax guy and mm-hmm. to rectify this. And then we find out later that Barack Obama authorized the IRS, the most fear-inducing agency, to go after people and organizations who had Patriot or Pride in their names.
Yeah.
And, yes, the media absolutely should be covering stories like the, you know, anti-abortion guy and the January 6th people and all of that.
Yep.
How governments allied against them. It's
and Kevin Kleinsmith. Kevin Kleinsmith was the FBI agent that changed evidence that was handed into the FISA court. And when Kleinsmith stood in front of the judge said, well, Mr. Kleinsmith, you've suffered enough. Your career has suffered enough. Your family has suffered enough. Time served. You may leave.
Hey, John, stop talking.
Outrageous. I mean, Dory, my head's going to explode. My head.
Bring it up full, Andrew.
Bring it up. Help me out, would you?
There it is. Yeah, we get really drunk down at
Stay with
Smoky
us through
Joe's.
The chorus. No, don't sing.
Amy, what you want to do?
Shoot, this is a great segment until you and I mucked it up minute. All right, John Curley, every afternoon, including today, Albany, New York last night, another auction tonight, and he does his show still, because that's the kind of man he is.
Gotta do it.
See you later. Thank you. All right. We're going to check the news, then we're going to update you on what was our top story 2 hours ago. Lots more to do. It's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on.
To
I'm a person in turmoil right now because nothing makes me feel more chill, as the kids like to say, than our 2:30 intro music. And yet my blood is boiling over a story that just came to my attention. I'll get to that in just 1 second here. We led the show today with, we're starting to see the first effects of what the Democrats and Jay Inslee did a year and a half ago when they eliminated some three strikes you're out offenses and made it retroactive. There's a 45-year-old man. I told you about this at the beginning of the show. There's a 45-year-old man. He was in jail. He was in prison. And because Jay Inslee, everything that Saddam Inslee touches turns to bleep, there was a computer glitch that released 3,000 people from prison accidentally. One of the people was a guy named Robert Jackson. So when he was accidentally out of prison, he was driving drunk with his 35-year-old girlfriend, and he crashed and killed Lindsay Hill, a mother of two. He left her in the crash truck. Lindsay Hill's 13-year-old son, looking for his mom, who was missing, found his mom's dead body in this truck. So this was Robert Jackson's third strike, in prison for the rest of his life without the possibility of parole. And that's when the Democrats in Olympia and Jay Inslee colluded to give some of the most dangerous people in our society resentencing hearings where they would not be in prison for life. And the family of the victim in that case, Lindsay Hill, they talked to Channel 4, TacomaNews.com, and said that because of Jay Inslee's mistake, their daughter was killed. The glitch that let this guy out of prison to begin with.
It was my daughter that paid the price in our family, and it never, ever should have happened.
And then now this guy had a resentencing hearing this afternoon. I said I'd update you. They still have not told him what his new sentence is, but it's not going to be life in prison without the possibility of parole. And if we get that before 3 o'clock, I will update you on it. But there is another story that I have to tell you about in the limited time we have, because nobody else, and this is what Curly was talking about, this is something nobody else in the local media is probably going to tell you about. The Wall Street Journal has a story, the headline, Corporate Dirty Pool in Washington Senate Race. And they talk about how worried Democrats are about Patty Murray against Tiffany Smiley right now. That there's one poll that puts Smiley within 2 points. She's closing fast. It is so close that Democrat Majority Leader Chuck Schumer recently transferred $500,000 of his own campaign cash to Patty Murray's campaign, because the Democrats are worried about this. So now, according to the Wall Street Journal, a trio of corporate titans, Starbucks, the Seattle Times, and the Seattle Seahawks, are actively attempting to sabotage the Smiley campaign in a distinctly underhanded fashion. And they talk about two very effective Tiffany Smiley campaign ads. One, she's standing in front of a closed Starbucks store saying accurately that it's closed because of the high crime in that neighborhood. That's why Starbucks announced they were closing that store. In another commercial called Game Day, Tiffany Smiley's husband, who was blinded while fighting for our country in war, he says, even beer prices have gone up, and you can barely see, as the Wall Street Journal says, if you have a magnifying glass, you can barely see two letters of the word Seahawks or the Seahawks logo in that ad. So after this ad runs, which is during the Monday night football game, Seahawks and the Broncos, 5 days later, according to the documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal, the Tiffany Smiley campaign received a terse email from the Seahawks claiming a trademark violation because you could barely see Tiffany Smiley's husband's shoulders above a tall couch and you could barely make out that he was wearing a Seahawks jersey. Two letters. One or two letters, they say. And the Seahawks said, you must immediately cease your unauthorized commercial use. And then when her commercial cup of coffee went live in front of that closed Starbucks store. It showed a Seattle Times headline that said why the store was being closed. The Seattle Times sent an email to the Jane Smiley campaign. I guess Joe Biden's working for the Seattle Times now. They sent an email to the Jane Smiley campaign accusing it of unauthorized use of the Seattle Times logo in headlines. And then 2 days later, Starbucks sent a certified letter to the Smiley campaign saying they were appropriating their intellectual property. And they said they must pull the ad or alter it because barely visible and backward in the window of the shop she was standing in front of, you could barely see a Starbucks logo. Wall Street Journal says one such letter may be a product of an overzealous lawyer, but three in a row looks like more than a coincidence. One might even wonder if some Patty Murray staffer was putting bugs in Seattle business leaders' ears. And they, boom, boom, boom. Seattle Times, Starbucks, Seattle Seahawks. That's more than a coincidence. That's Patty Murray using her 30 years of acquired power to tell Seattle business leaders that they better help fight off Tiffany Smiley's surging campaign. It's a great story. Wall Street Journal has it. I'm going to have much more on this on Monday's show. And that's a story the local media is not going to tell you about. It had to be the Wall Street Journal that breaks that. It has to be me locally who tells you about this. But they're running scared at the Patty Murray campaign, and they're using really dirty, underhanded corporate influence to try to stop the Tiffany Smiley surge. Amazing. This is great stuff. Nice job. The reporter who got this for the Wall Street Journal, Kimberly Strassel. Great work by her, too. All right, quick timeout. Then our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Awesome audio's coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. All right, before I get to our awesome audio, I do have an update on a very serious story. I told you that because of Democrats in Olympia and Jay Inslee, about 100 three-strikes-you're-out offenders are going to be resentenced and get lesser time than what their crimes deserved. Robert Jackson, who killed a woman, he was accidentally released by Jay Inslee's Department of Corrections because of a computer glitch while accidentally out. He drives drunk, kills a woman, leaves her body for her 13-year-old son to find. He got three strikes, you're out, life in prison for that. And because of what Inslee and the Democrats did, he just got resentenced this afternoon. And we have just learned it's gone from life in prison to 33 years in prison, which the judge says is the most he could do for vehicular homicide. And that means with time off for good behavior, this guy's going to be out probably in about 25 years when he should have been put away for the rest of his life. Now, he's a very high offender score. He has been a lifetime criminal, several felonies, killing a person. And Democrats in Olympia and Jay Inslee wanted him out of prison. It's amazing. And when he gets out, who knows, you know, what lives he's going to ruin then. But nice job. Nice job, Inslee and Senate Dems. Great work with your number one priority, keeping the public safe. And with that as sad prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Yeah, you know, when of the week, actually. Vice is a far-left supposed news outlet, but Vice was going to do a very sympathetic piece about reintegrating sex offenders into society. That's a real leftist media perspective. How did they get rewarded for that?
And we all got to make it happen, and ain't nothing stopping me. So, like, I'm very hopeful and confident.
After this interview, Ashif sent a picture of his penis to our producer.
Well, that didn't seem to work very well for them, did it? Closer to home, Jason Rance had a story about Phantom Lake Elementary School in Bellevue. They hired a new principal in July. Yay! The new principal on social media likes to post videos of himself smoking weed and reading erotic gay porn. Elementary school principal, huh?
I almost forgot we had both already. He palmed and smacked my ass, flicking his tongue in while I gripped in bits of pillows. He locked his arms around my thighs, pinning me down and raised my hips slightly to get a view of what he wanted. He blew his warm breath against my ass and it back at him.
Hey, Bellevue School District, great hire! Marcus Johnson, I know it checked a couple of boxes, but maybe you should have checked his social media. Because, you know, kids sometimes look at their principals and their teachers' social media. And if the principal that you just hired, and he posts, he said that he loves to get high and he loves erotic porn, that he likes to read. Maybe the kids will see. You know, when everybody talks about how our schools are engaged in grooming. And then the people on the left always say, no, that's a false accusation. And then Bellevue School District hires this guy? Good call. One of the most important stories of the week. CBS News had this. It was, you know, when the hurricane was bearing down, when the president was clearly showing signs of dementia. And CBS, they have 3 minutes at the top of the hour. This is right as my show was starting on Tuesday, I believe, at 12:02. When I heard this.
A major story today in the world of candy. CBS's Steve Futterman has the sweet deets.
In addition to blue, yellow, brown, orange, red, and green, add purple to the M&M's lineup, and there's even a...
Why is this a news story? They're adding a color of M&M. Why is it a news story, CBS?
Welcoming video.
Hey, Purple, 10 minutes to your big debut.
I'm the new... M&M's candy.
Mars Incorporated, which manufactures M&M, says purple represents acceptance and inclusivity.
Oh, it's acceptance and inclusivity. That's adorable.
It's the first new color in a decade.
Purple M&Ms are available online now, but you won't find purple peanut M&Ms. They only come in plain.
Yeah, because if you got nuts, you can't stand up against the woke. And then finally, of course, the most listened to soundbite of the week from the President of the United States.
And I want to thank all of you here, from including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
The president showing dementia, looking for a dead woman. Wow. Okay, let's take the weekend. Let's regroup. Let's come back strong on Monday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. The John Carley and Sherry Elker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon.